Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah.
My name is Emma Rhodes. I do public relations and stewardship with the city of Pismo Beach for all of that.
So Pismo just got a star through Sunset Magazine. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Sunset Magazine does their travel awards every single year. So it's best of the West, from destinations to restaurants, mm-hmm. and they get hundreds and hundreds of submissions. And Pismo Beach just got ranked as one of the best beaches in the West. So we're pretty excited about it.
So how does that work? Does Pismo Tourism submit?
Yeah, so all the destinations will submit their application for different categories and who they are. So we made a submission for Pismo Beach and talked about all the incredible things we have going on. And clearly Sunset Magazine agreed. They said, yeah, you guys are one of the top four, I believe. Pretty cool, because I'll give Avila a little plug, but Avila Beach did make it as well. Mm-hmm. So it was incredible to see two of our Central Coast beaches on there.
Yeah, rightfully so. When you drive along the coast and you cruise around, you look over that promontory down at Avila, and it's just, it looks like the Amalfi Coast. So romantic.
Oh, yeah. All the boats out there, right. The wildlife. Oh, it's gorgeous.
So then you continue south on 101, and all of a sudden there's this panoramic beach that goes all the way out to at Vandenberg.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible.
I love that drive. You come around the corner and, you know, you just get these beautiful cliffs, and then you're looking out and you're like, what is that, a peninsula? And no, it's just all these sand dunes, and they go on for as long as you can see. And you got that little town tucked in there that's so cool as well, Pismo Beach. So.
Yeah. So it's not just the beach, right? The award is the town itself.
Yes.
and the destination.
Yeah, because, you know, a beach on its own, it can be... You know, it's a beach. Yeah. A lot of beaches are pretty similar. You got good sand, I guess, and some nice water, but it's the culture of the rest of the town that makes it, for sure.
So you're a little biased, as I am, but what in your mind are the coolest things of Pismo? You know, why would you recommend a girlfriend coming to visit?
Yeah.
What should they do and see?
There's so much for so many different types of people. So I always say it depends on what you like. Where I like to start is just generally the feeling that Pismo Beach gives you. It's pretty cool. My mom came to visit 3 weeks ago for the first time, because I'm relatively new out here. And I had a meeting in Pismo, so I was like, I'm just going to let you go for 3 hours and wander around. And I didn't preface it too much. I said, just go explore and tell me what you think.
And what did she think?
She came back and she said, it just feels nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, she's never been to Pismo. We are from Washington State, so we did grow up going down to Seaside, Oregon, a great destination as well. And she's like, it feels just like our summers in Seaside, but like 20 years ago, 30 mm-hmm. years ago, like where I grew up. And so I always say, when you get to Pismo, it just kind of feels like you're going back in time to this very nostalgic feeling, regardless if you've ever spent time there. It's able to hold on to this feeling. I think it's the signage and just the buildings.
And the type of businesses.
Yeah, exactly. The types of businesses and the people in the businesses, mm-hmm. and just how everyone moves around. So I always like to start with that. I'm like, you know, it's just the feeling you get when you're there. And then, like I said, whatever you're into, Pismo has so many good activities. You know, we've got wine country right there. Edna mm-hmm. Valley's wine country is spectacular. And it's still undiscovered, you know?
Well, and then some of your hotels, restaurants, like Sea Ventures, right?
Oh, Sea Ventures, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Cliffs, Dolphin Bay, Shell Beach, that whole area as well. And Vespera just redid a whole big section of their outdoor restaurant. And it's just, yeah, there's so much. So you can go stay on the beach and you get this nice dining and you get these beautiful oceanfront views. But then you also get to go inland a little bit, and it's, you know, wine country, and you can mm-hmm. still do that exploration and then come back and have your relaxation on the beach.
I think one of the best kept secrets a lot of people miss is Price Canyon Road.
Yeah. Oh, it's that drive either direction, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't decide which way I like going better, because driving away from the coast and all of a sudden you're just in these green hills everywhere in this vineyard-filled mm-hmm. magical wonderland. Or when you're leaving that and all of a sudden the ocean opens up, you're like, is that a whale I see? Yeah, it is. So,
but when you're making a day trip from Pismo, you go inland on Price Canyon. It's incredible how short a drive it is to get to the Edna Valley wineries, which are world famous.
Yeah. I don't think it's gotten enough recognition. I'll quote one of our winemakers out there. Mike Sinor is his name.
Oh, I know Mike.
You know Mike.
Yeah,
okay, so
he's a legend.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
And last week I went to an event and he was going off about Edna Valley. And he's like, it's the punk rock of the wine scene. And I absolutely loved that quote. I was like, can we brand that? Is that something we can put out there? Because he's like, it's incredible. They're doing amazing things. They're just not necessarily quite at the point where they're getting this national recognition, like, you know, Paso's really blown up or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Edna Valley, you're still going.
But it's literally under the radar with some legendary wineries.
Oh, yeah. And gorgeous. I mean, and you'll be sitting there and the winemakers are all right there with you too, often the ones pouring your wine. Like, you still get that. Again, it's like going back in time.
And the owners too.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's great. And that's just, I think, a huge piece of Pismo is how beautiful that little, like, wine nook is right next to the ocean. You just don't get that many places.
Yeah. Where would be your first and second picks if you were going to go take a little break and go wine tasting?
Ooh. Oh. See, that's a tricky one for me because you probably won't want to include this, but being in Morro Bay where I live, I tend to actually go to Paso more just because I live closer to it. So
exactly.
I don't have the Edna Valley wineries down super well by name and taste. So I don't know if I can call out any favorites.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. And how about back to the coast, the cracked crabs, some of the local great diners, places to eat, talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think just going down, you go down that main Pismo Street right there, and you've just got all the neon signs lighting up from Brad's, Splash Cafe, Crack Crab. I mean, you just get all this amazing fresh seafood, world famous clam chowder. I mean, you know, we are the clam chowder capital of the world. Just going to put it out there. There's a reason we have a clam festival that's been going on for 79 years now. So I just think the seafood's all fresh. It's right there. You've got all these just neon signs, right? So it's not only the quality and the freshness of the ingredients. California is a great place to live for that. But it's also just the ambiance of the town, being able to grab your bread bowl to go and just going down to the beach and sitting there at the pier eating a bread bowl of clam chowder.
You're making me want to do a little mini getaway.
Yeah? Well, you let me know. Oh, and just the quality of the food you're getting from those places. I know, like, I can speak for Lito personally. That's just a chef that really cares.
Well, he owns a couple of restaurants over in the valley.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how he pulls it off.
Yeah.
Here he is. He'll come out and talk to you and whatnot.
Anyone that's in the hospitality industry, work in restaurants, I am just in awe of. The ones that pull it off well, it's no small feat. So.
Yeah, they're 24/7.
Yeah. Oh, another great one we have in Pismo is Giuseppe's, obviously.
Right.
Famous for many, many reasons. They also just opened a brand new Italian-American cafe style, so a lot more casual food. And it's just down the block from their original restaurant. So if you don't want to go and, you know, wait, put your name in wait an hour, that's a great spot to grab a quick bite as well. A
couple other fun things.
Yeah.
Girlfriend comes.
Yep.
What do you do?
Oh, I mean, I think I'm a very outdoorsy person. I'm a surfer. So, you know, I'm like, whether you like surfing, if you've never surfed before, there are so many surf schools and so many surf companies that'll rent you a board or take you out on a lesson. Give surfing a try. It's such a fun, friendly place to go out and just give it a go.
Well, another equal, my thing, I'm a kayaker.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got that great kayak rental place right there.
Oh, yeah. Through the caves?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can go, I think it's Central Coast Kayaks, and they take you on a tour through these caves, and they're absolutely incredible. Yeah. And I mean, I'm a huge ocean person. I'll get to the land part, but the tide pooling in that same area, amazing for kids, adults. I don't care. I went tide pooling 2 days ago. I love it. You find the coolest little critters.
Southbound. There's Guadalupe.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I just think anywhere near the Oceano Dunes. The Oceano Dunes are such a unique ecosystem. It's one of the largest sand dunes anywhere on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So, and it's the only place you can still drive on the beach on the West Coast. Like, that's just a good time right there. So being able to stay, whether you want to, you know, stay in Oceano or Napomo, much quieter, more remote places, and then drive into Pismo, Avila, hit some of those places. Just enough restaurants and bars and a lot more access to those outdoor activities, renting ATVs, sandboarding, you know, back on the board sport. People go to this little surf shack in Oceano and rent a sandboard. You can rent them from this tiny little shop. It's this historical shop that's amazing. Yeah, those dunes are so fun. You feel like you're in a different world. The first time I went there, I mean, I'm a huge science fiction nerd and therefore obviously a huge dune nerd. Yeah, so I felt like I was living out my like...
Did you ever read about the Dunites?
Oh, yeah. I dove so deep into the history of that. I was like, wait, you're telling me that during the 60s, these people were just out here living in the dunes.
Back to the 30s.
Yeah, to the 30s. That's, oh my gosh. Yeah, that is just so crazy.
They had little huts they built.
Yeah. There's still, I think, still one technically up that was built from back then. They have a lot of historic information in that. Yeah, I was reading on that. It is so wild.
I love going down there and just getting lost, going for a hike. And I love jumping off the top of the dune. You can race down these cliffs.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't even feel real. It's like you're in a sandbox, right? It's like every kid's dream playing in the sandbox. It's the most giant sandbox you've ever been in.
And it's run by the state park system?
So, yeah, Oceano State Parks, and they do a great job. There's a lot of amazing conservation projects going on over there as well. My friends work in those, so a lot of replanting and pulling out non-native species, replanting the native species. So they're doing a great job in all that.
So they have an interpretive center, right?
Yeah, and it's great. They have, kids, adults, either one, it's wonderful. But it's this massive space, and you can go, and they tell the whole history. They tell the natural history. They go back, you know, 8,000-10,000 years. You can learn more about the little ecosystem. I think it's one of the best ways to engage with any environment, right, is to take the time to learn, to appreciate it and its history and what it's doing now. So,
yeah. And birders, that's a major flyway.
Yeah.
I've seen people down there with their little spotting scopes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's special, and the clamming's back, too, in that area. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you know about the Pismo clam being back, but that's a huge story.
Tell us about that. That's really fascinating.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Pismo stories right now going on. So the Pismo clam is where a lot of Pismo found its foundation historically, right? People came there to visit. The tourism industry really kicked up because of the Pismo clam, and this was the 30s and the 40s. Well, flash forward to, I think it was the 70s, 80s, there was a lot less Pismo clams around. They were overfished. And then you flash forward to the 90s, none. They're not seeing any. It's not just we don't see legal-sized ones. It's we're not seeing Pismo clams. So for 30 years, there were no Pismo clams on the beach.
So how did they come back?
Who knows? What? I'll tell you a funny thing, though. So the city of Pismo Beach, the Conference and Visitors Bureau, they actually help fund a Cal Poly research project. Mm-hmm. So they give them a certain amount of money every year, and they've been doing that for quite a few years now. So this lab, the Ruttenberg Lab at Cal Poly, is specifically focused on the Pismo clam. They started that research in 2014. 2020, the Pismo clam came back. Can you imagine trying to research an extinct species from what you understand, and then you hit the jackpot and it comes back? So, yeah, in 2020, all of a sudden, the beaches were lined with Pismo clams.
Wow, what a great story.
I know, it's pretty cool. So
can you dig for clams?
Yeah, you can go clamming now. So
how do you know when the season's opened or closed?
Yeah, right now it's year-round, but they are looking to change that because they're looking for ways to protect the this iconic species that they're like, why did it leave? The research is catching up to what's actually happening to better understand it. So policy-wise, they're looking to do either spatial close down, so closing off certain sections of the beach, or timely ones, so a couple months where you can't clam. But at the moment, you can clam year-round. You get 10 per day, and they have to be 4.5 inches, and you need a specific set of tools when you're clamming.
To dig with.
To dig with, and then also to measure with. The caliper is how you measure. So big push right now around the education for making sure there's responsible clamming and responsible fisheries. And the biggest thing around that is making sure people are reburying their clams. Mm-hmm. So there's a very specific way you want to rebury the clam. There's posters everywhere, lots of information online, but any undersized ones, we want to make sure they still have a good life to live, and human impact is staying minimal. So
that's really catchy.
Last night I was at the Butterfly Ball.
Oh, wow.
You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
CISPA?
State Park?
Yeah. So that's Central Coast State Parks, and the theme was night sky. right on the same topic, they're talking about the importance of dark skies for so many of our species, and you don't think about that, but how we as humans and the infrastructure our cities can put in can lower the light pollution to help a lot of the animals. And in this case, they were talking about the butterflies because, you know, Pismo Beach, I mean, a huge attraction is the monarch butterfly grove, but our monarch numbers have been so low, and they're talking about all the ways and different things that have impacted that. Which there's a whole list of them. However, one of the tiny pieces is monarchs, it's been proven, can get lost with too much light pollution at night. So they do depend on the sunlight and night sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add about Destination Pismo Beach?
I think the big one that I'm trying to tell people about right now, because I think it's the coolest thing ever, but I'm biased because I'm planning it. We're doing our first annual Sand Art Festival.
Sand Art Festival.
On the beach? Yes. So we're not talking sand castles. We're talking sand murals. Mm-hmm. So massive scale. Pismo has one of the largest beaches. I believe it's the longest beach in California, technically. Wow. But it also has one of the largest amount of sand. So when we get a really high tide and then a really low tide, you just get this gorgeous canvas of sand.
Fresh palette.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's artists all over the world that do these big murals, and they take rakes and they rake in these images, and they vary in style, you know, mandalas versus more literal actual images.
When does it take place?
It's going to be this November 6th to November 8th. So that's a Thursday through a Saturday. And we have 9 artists from around the world that will be hosting. So they're coming from Ireland, the UK, all over the place. And they're going to cover all of Pismo Beach and possibly Shell Beach in these beautiful sand murals.
That's so cool. No fee to enter.
Exactly. It's all free. So yeah, people can come join, check it out, and just go on a beautiful sunset walk. All the art will be at sunset every day. And if they are wine people, it's the same weekend as Harvest on the Coast, which is inland, so they can drink wine all day, and then they can come watch sand at sunset. So yeah, we're trying to make ourselves like a sand art destination. We have an amazing local artist that does it every month at, you know, peak low tides, and we want to be the place that supports this new art form.
Wow, and their artwork gets wiped out every high tide.
Yeah, that's what's so beautiful about it, though. It's so low impact, right? Yeah. It's a special moment in time, and then it goes away, but we can be thankful for drone photography.
Emma, to learn more about the world of Pismo Beach.
Yeah, so you can go on experiencepismobeach.com, and that's going to be our tourism website. Learn everything all about this, all these great events and activities you can do. You can also follow us on Instagram at, or Facebook, Pismo Beach, California, or Pismo Beach, CA. So, yeah.
Pismo Beach,
CA, as in California, but shortened.
Too easy.
Yes.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for making the time.
Of course. Happy to be here.
This has been truly illuminated. Sands of time. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. We'll see you at Pismo Beach.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station. You see him wearing the baggies, ratchy sandals too. Everybody's gone surfing USA.
Oh, yeah.